Good morning, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful day. We'll continue where we left off. We're coming to the end, the very end of Bava Kamma, the 10th chapter. So we left off in the bottom of 118b, the 8th line from the bottom. We dedicate this class, our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely. It says, and we just learned in the Barais, that the person is allowed to buy from the shepherd. You're allowed to buy 4 or 5 sheep, but you're not allowed to buy 2 or 3. You're not allowed to buy 2 sheep. So Rabbi Huda says, he may distinguish it. If they come home at night, then it's allowed. If they don't come, allowed, but if they stay out in the desert, they stay grazing out at night, then you're not allowed to. Midbody is like, so you might ask, the question was, Rabbi Huda coming to be strict, we said that you can buy 4 or 5 from the shepherd. He said that's only if they come home at night. If they don't come at night, then even 4 and 5 sheep you're not allowed to buy from the shepherd, because the owner doesn't know that it's law, that it's stolen. So maybe the shepherd stole it and sold it to you. I didn't know, perhaps that's safe. Or maybe he's going at the end. He spells out, allowed to buy from the shepherd 4 or 5 sheep. It's only buys is if they come home at night. But he is a full Abraham. I didn't know, perhaps that's safe. He's going at the end. When he says you're not allowed to buy 2 sheep, so he says that's only if they stay out in the desert. If they don't come home at night, but if they come home at night, then the owner counts. The owner will know. So the shepherd is afraid to even steal 1 or 2 sheep. Then Lekuli is going to be lenient. What is only in the case if they don't come home at night? He says, from the shepherd, you're allowed to buy if they come home at night. You're not allowed to buy if they stay out. But everywhere, even if they stay out at night, because the shepherd is afraid. Even if they don't come home at night, he can't steal 4 or 5. You know, the owner would know about it. So he says clearly, it's a clear proof. Rabbi Huda meant to say that he's being lenient. When do we say you're not allowed to buy from a shepherd 1 or 2? That's only if they don't come home at night. They come home at night, the owner counts them, and the shepherd is afraid to even steal 1 or 2. Therefore, there's no worries, I can buy it from him. Now we're in the last page of the Gemara. The Gemara says, it says in the Mishnah of Leim, Shemi Pedis, you can't buy from those who are watching the fruits. You're not allowed to buy from them fruits or wood. The Gemara says, Rav Zavin, he bought Shabish Temelis, he bought a bundle of twigs from the others, the sharecrop. Abaye said to Rav, how could you? You're going against the Mishnah. It says clearly in the Mishnah, but now, let me show you the pages, I can't buy wood and fruits from someone who's watching the fruits. Rav says, Animili, the Mishnah is talking about, when do we say this? B'shoimid, if he's just watching, less than B'gufa Dara Midi, he's just a guard. He has no part in the land itself. Or is a sharecropper, Isli B'gava, he gets a percentage. So he's invested in the field, so some of it is his, legitimately. Same in Africa comes up, maybe he's selling from his share. I have no reason to suspect him, so I'm allowed to buy from him. The mother continues to tell the Rabbanu, the rabbis learn, Shemini Peides, those who are guards, Leichemen, I'm allowed to buy from them when they're selling, Vasal Lufneim, and the baskets are in front of them. Retutin Lufneim, and the huge scale is in front of them, because then, obviously, he's not stealing, he's doing it publicly in front of everyone. If he was stealing, if he was doing this without permission of the owner would know right away, and, you know, so he wouldn't dare do it. So obviously, it's clear that whatever he's doing is legitimately selling for the owner, or it's his. And then he says, but, for kulon, in all cases, shamru, if he says, hatmein, please hide it, conceal it, then you know that he's selling stolen goods. You're allowed to buy from them if they're sitting at the opening of the garden. That's the normal way to sell. If he's sitting in the back of the garden where no one sees, again, that's then you know that something is smelly or something is fishy, and you're not allowed to buy from him. Because the one who buys from a thief is worse than the thief. Because without any buyers, they would dry up. Business would dry up. He wouldn't steal. What's the benefit of stealing? He has no customers. So you're not allowed to, by you buying, you're aiding and abetting the thief. The mother says, Itmar, we learn Gavlin, a thief, a known thief. Mehechen, a robber. Mehechen with Mehemus and with Likens. At what point on are you allowed to buy from him? Amen. You know, a person starts out, everything he does, he doesn't do an honest day's work. Everything he does is lying, cheating, stealing. At one point, you know, and then people go legitimate. Then suddenly they stole enough, then they open up legitimate businesses. At what point are you allowed to buy from them? How do I know that it's no longer, am I buying something that was stolen, or I'm buying something that legitimately belongs to him? It has to reach a point where the majority of his business, the majority of his income is legit. Only if he has some business and some honest income, then I can say, you don't have to go by the majority. It's probably coming from the majority of money that was stolen or items that were stolen. I can say, maybe I'm buying from those few items that actually belong to him. I think your mother says, actually a story, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Huda instructed Ada, who was Daila, he was the beadle, the attendant of all the rabbis, like Shmuel, it says that he can buy from a thief, even if he has some money that's legitimate, and I can say, I'm probably buying from the part that is legitimate. And that's the halach. But it says, mamin maser, the money of a maser, of an informer, who you're allowed to kill, like we learned earlier, Rabbi Huda, we have an argument here, Rabbi Huda. One of them says, I can take his money and his possessions and whatever he owns and destroy it with my hand. One says, I can burn it down, I can destroy it. One says, I can't destroy it. What's the argument? I'm allowed to kill him. Surely I can kill his money and destroy his money and his wealth. And the one that says, Asr, you're not allowed to, and that's the halacha, you're not allowed to destroy it by hand. Why? Because Dilma, perhaps, maybe he'll have good children. It says in Job, Yachin Rasha, Vitzatik Yilbash. The Rasha prepares, accumulates wealth, and he dies, and his child could be a son, could be a Baltruva, could be a great guy, and his father accumulated all his wealth for his son. So you have no right to destroy it. There's an argument if you have no right to destroy it, but you have a right to take it for yourself. Even though the simple reading seems to say that you have to leave it for his son, for his family. If you couldn't take it for you, you shouldn't take it for yourself. But others say, no, you can't destroy it, but you can take it for yourself. I guess that opinion holds that when the Pasuk says that the tzaddik took it, if you take it, you're the tzaddik. So he held the money for himself, and he accumulated the money for himself, and you take it. But the simple reading is that the son takes it. You should leave it to the children. So not only you shouldn't destroy it, even though Gemara discusses not destroying, it doesn't only mean you're not allowed to destroy his property or his valuables or his possessions, but also you shouldn't even take it. Just leave it for the family. Okay. Gemara says, Rav Chizda had a sheer crop. It was very exact. Takel v'yav, he would measure and give to Rav Chizda what his share, and Takel v'Shakel, he would measure and take for himself his share. And he wouldn't give Rav Chizda an extra penny. He was totally exact, like a yeki, he was totally exact down to the penny. Salke, Rav Chizda removed him, and he replaced him with another sharecropper. V'kar anafshe, Rav Chizda said on himself, read the pasuk, it says in Proverbs, v'tzofun l'tzadik helchit. Rav Chizda was the tzadik in this reference, took. It's hidden to the tzaddik, the portion of the others, who is the sinner. Question is, what did Rav Chizda gain? You know, this person was very exact, but in a way he was very honest. Rav Chizda didn't get a penny more than was coming to him, but Rav Chizda also didn't lose a penny. Whatever was coming to him, he got down to the last penny. Versus the second, the replacement, who's not so careful, maybe gave Rav Chizda was generous, but it could work the other way. Maybe he won't give Rav Chizda, he'll take for himself more than his due. He's not so exacting. He's not a yaki, but he'll not so exacting. So maybe Rav Chizda can end up with getting more. But on the other hand, Rav Chizda could also end up getting less. He won't be exacting and he'll take for himself more. So how did Rav Chizda gain? Rashi gives another explanation that the others is, this is Mashra asks here. Rashi gives another explanation that The others took 50% for himself and 50%, versus the regular deal is the sharecropper takes a third and the owner gets 2/3. But so again, the Mashal says, what's the issue? Whatever they made up, if they can make up whatever they make up, if they made up, he gets half. Or so why did Chizda fire him? And if he didn't make up half, and the custom is you get a third, so what do you mean he took for himself a half? He didn't have to fire him. Rabbi Chisda would just say, I'm sorry, you're getting a third, and the rest give to me. So the Mashra says, what it means is that he used two different measurements. He used, for himself, he used one scale, and for Rabbi Chisda, they used another scale. So he tipped the scale for himself, and he used a scale that was more beneficial for him, so he ended up getting more. But Rav Chisda used this scale that, you know, it's like a New York foot is like 11 inches, you know, in New York real estate, square feet. So he used a different scale, a different measure. Rav Chisda ended up less. So that's why he fired him and he replaced him. And that's why, it says in the Pasuk, Kama tikvas chanev ki yivtza ki yishel al kanafsh. So we have an argument in Abhuna of Chizah what the Pasuk means. Talking about the punishment of a thief, someone who steals money from his friend. Chadam, one of them, explains, Nafshe Denigza, that what does he hope, what does he gain by stealing if Hashem is going to demand from him the life of the person you stole from? You robbed him, and you robbed him of his life. Not just financial. So you gain money, but Hashem is going to demand from you that you hurt and you robbed him of his soul. But Chadamar, one says, Nafshe Nigzal, that Hashem says, what did you gain financially? I'm going to take your life, the thief's life. So Mandamar Shal Nigzal, Midrashiv, it says, Kein Orchis, Kol Bitzeh Betzes, Nefesh Bay Levika. This is the way, anytime you steal, it's not just you stealing money, you got free money, you stole from someone, you're a communist, you stole other people's personal and private money, but you actually stole his life. So it's like murder, it's like a murderer. You stole his privacy, you stole his, you're taking his life away. Mandamer, and the one who says Nafshe Shel Gazlan, the one who says no, Hashem is referring, Hashem is going to take the life of the thief. When it says Al Tigzal Dol Gidalu, don't steal from a poor person who has really nothing to steal. Al Tidak Yoni Bashar, and don't steal. What are you going to steal from him? You're going to steal his tzedakah money, people, the miser, the tithing they have to give to the poor, and all the special gifts to the poor that you divided in the gates, you distributed in the gates. So don't steal from him. Why? If you do, Hashem will fight their battle, the covers kaveim nafesh. Hashem will take your soul, will punish you, not just hurt you financially, but Hashem will take your soul, your life. But as vidoch nami, aksiv nefesh balavika. And the other one who says, it's referring to Hashem will take the soul of the thief. But it says, it does say in the other pasuk, that when you steal, you're also stealing the other person's soul. The Gemara answers, he'll explain, my ba'olav the hashta. He's talking about Hashem, the one who owns it now, the thief. He's referring to the thief. The thief who now owns it, he took possession of the other person's money. Hashem is going to take your life. Vidach nami, and the other one, the first one, it says, aksiv ha'kavis kaveim nefesh, that Hashem will punish you and take, not only punish you financially, but Hashem will punish the thief by taking his soul away. He says, Matam kamer. The pasuk means, what's the reason? Why is Hashem going to punish them? Matam kamer skeveyem. Why is Hashem going to take his life? Because the kabayin nefesh, because they took the life of the one who's the owner that they stole from. They took his life away. By in your face. That's what he says. I'm Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon says, "Kol gezel shaveid shav prutif. If you steal a penny, kilo neitel nishmatzim imen." It's as if you took his life away. Shneim it says, "Kol kein arches, kol betzeh betzas nefesh balavikach." The verse we just said, like you took his life away. And imen it also says in the pasuk in Jeremiah, "Va'ochel ktsircha v'lachmcha yechlu benecha v'nesecha." That by eating your harvest and your bread, it's as if they destroyed your sons and daughters. Because you have nothing to feed them. And Oymen, it says in Joel, in Yoel, one of the prophets, Mechamaz bnei Yehuda sheshofkod am nakam ratzon Hashem is going to take revenge on the land of Egypt. And the Edomites, they will be destroyed because they stole from Yehuda, that they spilled innocent blood. Chamas is theft. So they stole from Yehuda, and Hashem compares it as if you murdered them. And Oim, it says in Samuel, Book of Samuel, El Shol v'Bisadam Shalhim, it says, the reason why Hashem had Shol and his sons were all had to be killed and hung, and there was a tremendous hunger, is because what they did to the Gevinim, he robbed them of their livelihood. So you see, when you rob a person and you rob him of his money, it's just as his money. You're robbing him of his soul. When you steal from a person in his face and you're telling him that privacy doesn't mean anything. You have a business, you build a business, I'm going to rob and take it away from you and laugh about it. And it doesn't mean anything. You don't own anything. You're nothing. Your business is nothing. Your privacy is nothing. Your hard work is nothing. I'm just a bureaucrat and I'm just going to come and take it away from you. I'm a thief. I'm a communist. I'm just going to come and take it away from you. You don't own anything. It takes a village. It's not you. You're nothing. Your investment is nothing. Your sweat and toil is nothing. Your hard work is nothing. You stole a person's, you stole his whole dignity. You stole his whole soul. You murdered him. You're robbing him of the most important thing, that is privacy, individuality, my ownership, my life, my choices. But I said, why do you have to bring all these psukim? The first pasuk you brought says it all. You might have said, you're going to say nefesh didei. Maybe the pasuk means that Hashem will take his soul. The soul of the robber. But his children won't be punished. That's what he brings in the next passing. That you also get punished, not just for stealing the soul, for robbing, for murdering the soul of the owner that you'd rob, but also his children, and for stealing from his children and his daughters. And therefore it's going to affect your children and your daughters. If you're going to say, only if a person robs and he doesn't pay for it. What if he robs, but he pays you? He says, listen, I'm taking it for you. I'm not asking you. One way or the other, I'm getting this. But I'll be nice, I'll pay you. So Tashma, that's what he says. Mechamaz bnei Yehuda. Chamas, shavchudam, batzim. Chamas, chamsen is someone who takes it by force, but he pays. But I'm not giving you a choice. So I'm laughing you in the face. I'm going to do whatever I want. But, you know, I want you to sell it to me. well, I'm taking it whether you want to sell it to me or not, but I'm going to pay you. So Hashem says it's still the same thing. You still murdered him. Psychologically and spiritually, you murdered him. Taking by force and saying that a person has no choice and no privacy and no ownership. If you say a person has no ownership, if you're a communist, you're a murderer. You're a murderer. And if you're going to say, this is only if he does it with his hands. If he causes it. But then Hashem won't punish him. Tashma, that's where he brings the next pasuk. Shol v'esadam shol him is given him. Shol didn't directly with his own hands destroy their money, take their money, but he caused them destruction. He put them out of business. He put them out of a job. Since he killed, what do you mean he killed the Gevinim? Because by killing the Kainim, they were robbed of a job. There was no Kainim to serve, and that was their whole livelihood. Now, where do we find that Shaul killed the Gevinim? Since he killed Neiv, the city of the Kainim, Shem is speaking them, I am a Muzin. And that was their livelihood. They would feed them and nourish them. I love Akasik Hargan. Hashem counts it as if he killed them. He said in the Mishnah, but you're allowed to buy from the women garments made of wool in Judea. And garments made of flax in the Galilee. But not wine and not oil and not flour, because that's not the custom in these countries, in these areas, to give it to the woman to sell. But the women sew and weave and this, that, the husband legitimately give it to them to sell. From servants, slaves, you can't buy anything. Because maybe they stole it from their masters. It's not from children. Maybe they're selling without permission from their fathers. She could sell for a few dinars. Because for something so small, the husband is not controlling. Please, you want to sell so I can buy myself a little hat, a little cap. That she's totally, she can do whatever she wants. She doesn't need to clear it. But if they all say hi, also, it means the husband doesn't even allow them to do that, and therefore us. Okay, then it says, Gabi tzedaka, leikim mehen, davim wood, davim ruva. Gabi tzedaka, the collector is allowed to take a small amount of tzedaka from the women and the minors and slaves. And those who sell oil, leikim and zeisim and midah, v'shem and midah, allowed to buy. You're allowed to buy from their wives oil and olives when they're selling it publicly. So surely they're doing it with permission. They're not hiding. But if they're selling it a little at a time, so maybe they're doing it surreptitiously without permission, and therefore you can't buy from them. Rav Gamliel says, Leikim inoshim zesim. You're allowed to buy in the Galilee, upper Galilee, you're allowed to buy because the oil is very expensive. So even in a small amount, you should pump Adam Beishalim, because a person is ashamed to sell to himself a piece of business. So therefore, he will sell it through his wife, and it's legit. Ravina was a collector of tzedakah. And he came to the city of Mechaiza. So the women came to donate, and they gave him bands and bracelets and bands, you know, golden bands to tzedakah. You accepted from them. He didn't ask if they had permission from their husband. He didn't ask their husband's permission. He just accepted them. Amalei Rabbi Tisvel, Ravina, Rabbi Tisvel said, "But Tani, we learned the Brayza, Gabi Tzedakah, Kamta Vemuid. From a wife, you can only take a small amount of tzedakah, not a lot, because maybe she's giving without permission." Amalei Ravina said, "Rabbi, Hani, the Bnei Mechayza Davemuid. For Bnei Mechayza was so wealthy. This is a little. These are Park Avenue women. What they're giving, you think it's a lot for them. This is a little. The husband doesn't mind. Therefore, he accepted them." Okay. And we just finished the Mishnah, and next we're going to learn the last Mishnah of the tractate.